Lee Atwater was the guy who talked about the Big Ten. Remember the Big Ten? Well, that was Lee Atwater. Lee Atwater's been dead for like, you know, 15 years.
Yeah.
But in Philadelphia, and speaking of Santa Mendoza, in Philadelphia, Santa Mendoza, the RNC were slobbering all over her the way you slobber all over Weicker. They're putting her on C-SPAN and stuff like that.
I know.
She's a Latino.
That's the point. That's what they're telling us right now is this.
But that's what they were telling everybody in Philadelphia. And here's the thing. I'm going to stop you because we're just running out of time. But, you know, basically in Philadelphia, I sound like Chris Matthews now. I'm like talking over on, and I know the answer and all that kind of stuff. But I am like Chris Matthews. Here, I'm going to tell you what I think right now, okay? Well, Santa Mendoza, she was in Philadelphia. No, Santa Mendoza was in Philadelphia, and they were all excited about her, and they put her on C-SPAN, and they were showcasing her because she's an attractive Latino, telegenic woman. She's a lawyer. She's all the things that the Republicans would like people to think that they're going to be when they're acting inclusive. The real question is, what happens when you come back to your home state? Well, Roland and all of his frat boys, I mean, they like Santa okay, but, I mean, she was a smart, mouthy woman, and they tended not to be... They tended to be frat boys. I mean, they never really gave her anything. I mean, the one thing they ever gave her was the opportunity to get slaughtered by Dick Blumenthal. Well, that was nice. And so that's the real question. I mean, anybody can put on any kind of pageant they want. The question is, what happens when you go home to your home state? You know, do they walk the walk there? Okay, we've gone way over. It's Ron's fault, and we'll be back after this.
Hi, this is Ray Dunaway.
I'm Diane Smith.
All right, hang up on
Ronchero.
This is Ronchero music.
That sounds like you get like Ronchero dipping sauce or something.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds like a dressing of some kind. All right, joining us now is Holly from Hartford. Hi, Holly.
Hey, Colin, how you doing?
Just fine.
Listen, I'm a regular caller to the show. I try not to be a pest, unlike Ron. I just wondered if we could have a moratorium on Ron and not hear from Ron. So, and the reason I say that is because he's just in love with his voice. He loves hearing himself on the radio. If he were consistent in his opinions, like I am, like you are, and it might be, you know, worth listening to.
Do you hate
but
Ron?
But he's so inconsistent, and he's just, it's maddening. I'm so, so sick of him.
Holly, are you driving now?
I am driving.
Yeah, I think you should pull over.
But I'm exiting now.
Okay. Do you hate Ron?
I don't respect Ron.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, bigger than being liked or disliked, because, you know, he swings whatever way he thinks he can get on the radio. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to meet him?
I know it's a call-in show.
Yeah, what if we could arrange for,
frequently call you.
What if we could arrange for you to meet Ron? Like, do we have this connections thing, this dating thing or something like that?
No, I'm happily married to a smart person.
Oh, okay.
Which is not what I should say for Ron's wife.
Okay.
You know.
Do you know any single women who could go out with Ron? Actually, for all I know,
we don't know.
I would never do that to my friend. Never. No.
So you're asking me to ban Ron from the... First of all, Bruce doesn't like Ron that much either, and so a lot of times when Bruce is here, Ron, you know, Ron sits on hold for a while. So I must have a soft spot for Ron.
Why?
I don't
get
know.
Over it.
Did you ever meet him, Colin?
Yes. I think he showed up at the holiday store or something. Oh, no. Basically, it's hard for me to remember who we've met.
Really?
Yeah. It's hard
you
for
don't
me
recognize
to
recognize his voice.
Well, no, I know who Ron is. I mean, I know exactly who Ron is, but I can't remember sometimes who I've met. And also, when we do the holiday store, you know, when we go out and we're in different locations, we have our banner up. I'm pretty sure that when people are let out of mental institutions, they show them the WTIC logo and say, you know, if you're ever wandering around and you see this, go right there and start talking to the people. Because a lot of very strange people come up to us when we're doing the holiday store.
Holly, if you want to ever try a little social experiment, you can introduce yourself like 15 times to Colin at various social events, and he'll go, yeah, great to meet you.
I have a diagnosed problem with that. I forget what it's called. But
you're a freak.
Well, I'm a freak also as well, but I have face blindness. That's what it's called.
And so, and like every time you meet him or hear from him, it's a new experience.
Well, if you came up to me and said, "I'm Holly, the person who hates Ron," I would know exactly who you were. And and then the next time I saw you, if you said that again, I would the whole thing would make sense to me.
No, he'd go, "Nice to meet you."
But if you came up to me and just all I knew was that I saw your face, I wouldn't have any idea who you are. I mean, Bruce has to tell me who he is every day.
Or how about an in-ground swimming pool table with
my knowledge? There aren't any hamster songs, but joining us now is the hamster who was rescued from the waters of the Atlantic Ocean, I think, by John Kerry many years ago. This is Vanessa's hamster, Licorice, who joins us now. Hello, Licorice.
How are you today?
Well, we're fine.
Yeah, there are hamster songs. You know that song, Ben, by, I think, Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
Well, it's a rat, but we're close.
Yeah, I was going to point out, I think that is a rat. Now, have you gone to the Republican convention? At one point, you were going to go there to protest stem cell research.
Well, I wasn't going to go. What actually happened is I did go, but I decided to go a little incognito. So, you know, when you're a hamster, you got some shoe polish, bang, you're a rat.
Yeah.
So I got in the garden, no problem. I got friends there.
Yeah, wouldn't think it would be hard to infiltrate with those circumstances.
And I scurried, you know, a lot of cowboy boots that have never been worn before, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of shoes, no sandals, no Birkenstocks, nothing like that.
Yeah, but a lot of posers wearing their new cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, and they throw their stuff everywhere, man. There's little plastic drinking things everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't go hungry.
It was awful.
I don't know whether you're aware of this or how much of a chance you've had to look into this, but... two nights ago, Jenna and Barbara Bush were up there, the twin daughters of President Bush, and they did indicate that they had a hamster who came to a bad end. Do you know anything about this?
Well, first of all, I was there, and the thing that really disturbed me, I'm small, I didn't think they could see me, but I swear, when Barbara said, you know, we used to have a hamster and ours didn't make it, I swear she's looking right at me. I did look into it, and you got to look at family history. I mean, their father, who I think is the president, he used to, you know, for sport, take firecrackers and stick them in frogs and blow them up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, need I say more?
Right.
I don't like the idea. I mean, you got Kerry on the one hand, guy will reach down into the ocean, pick you up, save you, and you got Bush, and he'll stick a firecracker up your butt.
Right. So you're seeing the firecracker doesn't fall very far from the tree in terms of the daughters.
Exactly. I'm afraid so. I mean, they look like nice kids, but I saw it in their eyes.
Yeah.
No question.
They do look like, they'd be a lot of fun anyway to hang around with.
Well, I don't know, man. When you're me,
and
there's any kind of fireworks in the vicinity,
very
uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know about it, you know.
Well, no, I don't want to overtax you because I know it's hard for a hamster to hold a phone and talk into it and stuff like that. Is there anything else that you wanted to share with the listening public?
Well, I got to tell you, and, you know, I'm a rodent, but I watched that Zell Miller guy last night, and I thought I was watching Patton, you know, because he's like, spill their blood, shoot them in the belly. And I heard that he wants to have a duel with, like, that, what's that guy's name from
Chris Matthews?
Hardball?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if they did that and they, like, whacked each other? America really would be safer.
It did look like Patton as played by Slim Pickens.
And then, you know, you want a shaved hamster? It's Jenny. There you go. I know of what I speak.
All right, Licorice, thank you very much for joining us.
Anytime.
Be well. Stay healthy. Bye. But we are the only show, actually, I think in America, that he appears on currently. That is the Licorice. He's now, as you can tell, he's not a young hamster anymore, but he's seen a lot.
Where does he live?
I can't say that.
Oh,
I can't answer. Anyway, our numbers right now, if you are not a hamster, are 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, star WTIC. Co-hosting with me is Teresa Pelham from Hartford Magazine. And,
hey.
Oh, and now joining us also from New York City is angry young man Brendan Sullivan, a recent college graduate.
Professional angry young man.
All right, okay. Where are you? Say hello to Teresa Pelham from Hartford Magazine, who's here also.
Well, hello, Teresa. How are you doing?
I'm great, Brendan. How are you?
I am great. I'm on Ground Zero Part 2 right now.
Yeah.
Pretty wild stuff out here, I'll tell you. You know, I really feel for the Bush family right now because I get the sense of what these Republican conventions are. They're just family reunions for them. There's 90 of them down there right now. And you walk around to these protests, and you're like, hey, remember me from Pro-Life America? Oh, yeah, from Pro-Choice America. Oh, God. Hey, Free Mumia guy. All right. How you doing? You know.
Yeah.
It's the career activist life. It really makes you feel like you belong somewhere.
Yeah. So did you see any of your old friends from various
places? Yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah.
They're the ones handing out pamphlets. Although I must say, the real party's down at Union Square right now because you can't get anywhere near the garden.
Yeah.
Where I am right now, there's just a few people trading insults, essentially. I just walked by. Hey,
I'm easy to get along with today. Okay. I just, as long as Bill Miller doesn't come and hurt me or bite me.
And some strange man followed me in here when you were not here and ate a cookie.
Sean just came walking in here. Sean, you let Sean in the studio.
I took him in and I freaked out. I thought he worked here.
Sean is a nutcase caller. We can't have them in here anyway. We have to take a break. We're still in the Olympics. So today I put on a kilt and a police outfit and I tackled the jogger. Also, tonight after the fundraiser, Scott Haney and I are going trampolining as well, you know, just to sort of ease the transition out. Anyway, it's time for Sport Atois, the very French sports discussion segment avec Mademoiselle Teresa Pelham, Monsieur Arnoldine, and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer. Now what? You know, I can't believe... Well, we could sit here all day thinking about such things. We're talking to Teresa Pelham right now. We also want to mention, coming up in the next half hour, we will talk briefly to Santa Mendoza, former Republican candidate for Attorney General against Richard Blumenthal, which is sort of like being the goat that they stake out in Jurassic Park for the Tyrannosaurus Rex to come eat. But she did it with aplomb, and she did it with a certain bizarro kind of, you know.
And then after that, we'll be talking to Santa Claus.
I'm talking to Santa Claus after that. And then also tomorrow, the evil genius Dr. Courtney Gain, who's the science editor of the Bruce and Colin show.
What?
Yeah, there's a lot of pre-game excitement about evil genius Dr. Courtney Gain joining us. She was also the our expert on the scene for the Yukon corpse plant. Did you follow the whole corpse plant drama?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, she was on the scene monitoring that whole situation.
Where is it? Is it dead now? Does it stay alive?
No, I think it's, you know, it has like a little moment. And then, I mean, it's probably alive. It's probably having a life support or something like that.
But it doesn't have like a blossom anymore.
No.
Did it blossom and stink? Is that what happened?
Yes, it blossomed and it stank. But that was very much like us. The glory that was eaten, and then it was over. All right, we're going to take a little break for traffic, and we'll be back with more after this.
Hey, at WTIC.com.
Okay, you've been here for 3 hours. You're not on drugs. You haven't gotten me on drugs. You made cookies, and they appear not to have muscle relaxants.
Everybody's okay.
You've done a very good job today. I'll say it now. I'll say it behind your back, too. You did an excellent job. One thing you haven't done is pump your stupid magazine, which I'm assuming they actually want you to do.
Actually, I was in here yesterday dropping off to Mikey C a copy of it because it's got 9 full pages of military stuff.
My buddy will be like rolling around on that like a dog on a dead fish.
Kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I figured.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's talked about it or
put
not.
Put it out all over the floor and writhe around on it like a squid. And we're talking to Teresa Pelham from Hartford Magazine. That's the magazine we're talking about. So what else is in there besides military stuff?
There's the...
there's a profile of Mr. Ambrosio.
Mr. Ambrosio. There's a nice picture of him. Although I took a picture of him like standing out in the hallway one time. I thought it came out better than that one. But he seems to like this one. So that's the one he's using.
Yeah. I'm quoted in that.
Yeah.
I have a supportive quote.
It's supportive. It's kind of vanilla, actually. I didn't think it was.
Well, actually, I said something more detailed. And Elizabeth McGuire, who wrote the piece, I mean, just for space reasons, boiled down the nuanced and complex, you know, sort of Clarice Sterling, psychological profile I did of Mr. Ambrosio. But
had you said something a little bit more biting than that? Because it really was kind of...
I didn't say anything very biting. Here's the thing, you know, when you work with somebody, particularly when you work with Mr. Ambrosio, You want to have their back in a situation like that. I mean, I did say something more complicated and nuanced and stuff like that, but I didn't say, I said positive things, because if I want to say something really negative about somebody, I'll probably say it on the air.
Go ahead.
You know, but I'm not going to say anything negative about him.
Is he going to kill you? you're living in fear of Joe.
Well, I don't live in fear of Mr. Rosier. Mr. Rosier and I are really good friends. And actually, the reason that everybody goes to me for quotes, every time somebody does a profile of him, they wind up going to me for quotes. Because they know that I like him and that we get along, but that we also had this really explosive episode in the year one time.
That's why they go to you.
That's why they go to me. Because they think I'm going to say something horrible about him. But the fact is, we get along extraordinarily well. And, I mean, he's one of the people at this station who I really regard as a very supportive person.
I think you were afraid of Elizabeth McGuire.
I'm a little bit afraid of her. First of all, I'm socially afraid of everybody. And I certainly, I let Mr. Ambrosio do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Like, if he were here and he wanted to sit in this chair, I would just get up and, you know, let him have it.
Yeah. Is that what he does?
He sometimes, yeah.
I've seen him just move the chair directly away.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, if he wants the chair, he usually urinates on it.
Did Lowell Weicker do anything on this chair?
No, I was going to tell you that, actually. But yeah, you are sitting right where Lowell Weicker is. All right, well, thanks very much to Teresa Pelham. It's a terrific magazine. You wouldn't know it from any of her comments, but it's very interesting. It's chock full of fascinating Hartford goodies. Tomorrow, the evil Dr. Courtney Gain will join me as co-host.
It's going to Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know if there's time, and that's the best way to sum it up. Is there time to go to Bed Bath & Beyond?
I was there for many hours. I was transfixed by all the wonderful... You know what I got? Do we have to be out now, Bobby? What is the deal? I got this kind of chrome, kind of high-tech looking device, and all it is, it's a slot on one side and a hole on the top, and you take all your little plastic bags from the grocery store and you stick them in the slot, and you pull them one at a time out of the hole like you were pulling a Kleenex out of a thing. It makes me so happy.
That's so high maintenance.
Oh, no, but it isn't, though. I mean, what's high maintenance is jamming all your plastic bags into some, you know, cupboard down below the sink and then having to rustle around in them to get them out and then shake them so that one comes free, you know, and that kind of stuff. It's not high maintenance. That's my point. This makes me happy. Don't interfere.
Then.
We'll take a little break. Then, exactly. We'll take a break. Be totally mindful of your plastic bags. We shall return. From Washington, D.C. There's a shadowy job there. You were very brave with the corpse plan. I wanted to, I don't know if I ever really sort of publicly took my hat off to you, but we did send you up there to the corpse plan when it was blooming in the... Do you have post-traumatic stress episodes from that whole thing?
Yeah, I've been in counseling.
Whatever happened with the corpse plan? It just sort of dies down at this sort of point.
It was a bust.
What do you mean it was a bust?
It never fully bloomed, and then... Well, it can bloom again.
Yeah.
To be honest, ever since I stopped reporting on it, I...
You lost interest.
I didn't so much lose interest as I just... I don't know. I got lazy.
Yeah. That's the same as losing interest, just in case you were curious.
To lose interest, you would have had to have had interest.
You sounded very interested. At the time you were up there and you were asking all kinds of questions. You got very engaged. We were very proud of you. And you didn't seem scared at all.
No, it's a plant.
You're a challenger of the unknown.
Yes, I opened it. Welcome to it with open arms.
Yeah. But it didn't seem like it's like an ongoing thing, though. It sort of does what it... What do you mean it didn't bloom? It didn't fully bloom.
It didn't fully bloom.
Yeah.
I like to consider that.
That was covered up by the...
Go hard or go home.
Yeah.
That's what I said to the plant.
Well, it's tough botany that you practice, and I think that's great. But, the whole UConn administration, I think they covered that whole thing up, the corpse plant bloom all the way. Was there a cover-up?
It's probably one of the greatest scandals of our time.
Yeah. Did Phil Austin at any point pressure you not to sort of point out that the corpse plant hadn't fully bloomed?
Yeah, it was like a civil action. I had people showing up at my door.
Okay. Okay, here's something you will really enjoy. A nutrition question from Mary Jane in Rockville. Hello. Hi.
I have to put my radio down.
Yeah, put your radio down. Don't, particularly if you're standing in water.
We're not in water.
Okay, don't stand in water with the radio in your hands. Okay.
Good.
Are you relaxed?
I am invincible.
Okay.
Wow.
All right, I'd like to ask Dr. Courtney.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who is the worst bedside manner of any nutritionist I've ever seen so far. But anyway, let's give it a shot.
I want you to see my I would like to know, as a baby boomer, that having had a discussion with others, that I could nutritionally or diet take care of myself and be very healthy so that I don't need prescription medication.
Oh, so you want to know...
I don't have to go on Medicare.
So you want to know what to eat here in these middle years. Like, you're over 40 now, right?
Well, I mean, you know how one... I mean, you know, like no smoking, no alcohol, exercise.
Don't hold the radio while you're standing in the water. That kind of basic safety stuff.
But
all right, I have to put you on hold because we have to go to the traffic, but stay tuned. We'll get to more of this when we come back. Well, I still miss the Summer Olympics, so what I do every afternoon is I wrestle a fat guy and I take his shoes off. It's time for Sports I Got, avec Mr. Ambrosio, Les Mademoiselles Gaines, Margaret and Courtney, and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer. Oh, that's right.
Thanks.
Here we go.
For it, isn't it? 516? Right. No, we can do it. Let's do it.
If there's anything more that
you... No, I have not. I just, you know, it's right. Great to be here in the five. Sorry, I missed earlier in the week with Pelham and Weicker and...
Yeah.
Did you have Hornblower? Was Hornblower in here?
Hornblower was in here at the end of last week.
Last week.
Yeah.
It was like the old, Ten to Noon show that did so well.
Yeah. Exactly. The one that got canceled for Dr. Laura. I still wake up screaming in the middle of the night thinking
about... So do the listeners.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's the question, and it's actually I'm asking sort of in honor of the Gaines sisters who are from Ireland.
You almost want to say twins.
Yeah.
Because
they
sort of look like.
I don't think so. I think they have to have sort of a Betty and Veronica thing going, to tell you the truth. But
I was thinking more like the beach volleyball women. We could talk about that.
Or a Jenna Barber thing. Okay. Anyway, when I was a child, my grandmother told me that I should never eat the green areas on potatoes. Because it supposedly has some kind of toxin or poison in it. First of all, is this true?
No.
And second of all, how much green potatoes could I eat without ever falling sick? If it's not true, what's the green?
The green is actually good for you. The green adds vitamins to your system. And in fact, anybody who's listening, kids should be eating as much of the greens out of potatoes as they can. The greens can add almost up to 24 vitamins to your system, and the younger you are, the better it is for you. For older people, it can work in reverse. Now, people our age, people of the 50-year-old and thereabouts generation, they're eating green potatoes does not do you any good. But especially for teenagers and for preteens, If you eat the green on the potatoes, it'll give you a little bit more strength, and it also will give you strange mystical powers. Your vision will become much better. It's the new age carrots.
This, you might want to actually consult with a nutritionist,
yeah,
like Courtney gave before you
or a physician,
right? Yeah, or anybody, really.
Enjoyed that doctor you had on before, a doctor from UConn.
Dr. Bruce Leon, yeah.
Yeah, from, those of us in our late 40s, a very frightening time, and I've just found the way he talked and his knowledge was very comforting.
Yeah, so are you frightened, right? I mean, do you find that you're, like, worried about things that might go wrong?
Oh, cholesterol, yeah. Heart, you know, everything.
See, I mean, I'm 49 years old, and I'm a walking time bomb, obviously. But I find that I think when you're living life to the fullest and sort of making sure that you get a lot out of every day and stuff like that, I find that I don't worry about it. I was more worried about my body, like in my neurotic 20s and 30s, than I am now.
Oh, yeah. Well, just seeing all those drug commercials, I think. That's
yeah. But do you go see your doctor? Do you get a checkup every year or something?
Oh, yeah, I do that.
And does he tell you you're healthy?
Yeah, he tells me.
Screw it, you're fine.
Everything I go for, he says, oh, it'll just go away in a few days.
Yeah, so you're fine. Don't be worried.
That's right.
Go out there and live life.
Okay.
Take a walk and get some exercise and have a glass of red wine.
Well, thanks.
Stress is the worst thing you can do.
Right.
All right.
Exactly.
Continue listening to your station, too.
Right. Yeah. Well, that'll put your blood pressure right up. Don't listen to this station. I mean, absolutely. But anyway, thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
I think it's good to have a doctor with a very soothing manner. My doctor, Jack, is a very soothing person.
Soothing yet not creepy.
Oh, no, yes. You don't want
There's
creepy.
A fine line.
Possibly. If you're easily threatened by people, maybe. But my doctor, Jack, he doesn't use a last name.
Which is creepy.
Right. No, it's not.